Reflections of a Former British Muslim Extremist. You are going to listen to a discussion about terrorism. First, you will have 45 seconds to study the task below. Then you will hear the recording twice. While listening, complete the sentences 1 to 6 using a maximum of 4 words. Write your answers in the spaces provided. The first one, 0, has been done for you.
Tell me what you discovered that really did change your life at this later point as an adult, what you discovered in Islam.
Much of this goes back, I must say, to American Muslim influences, and in that you've got fascinating scholars such as Imam Hamza Yusuf Hansen from California,
yes,
who I was exposed to here in Britain in the late 1990s. And in him and in others, I saw Muslims who are Westerners, who are American, who are English-speaking, who are intelligent, deeply erudite, and connected to a sense of prophetic Islam, connecting themselves right back to the Prophet Muhammad. And they embodied that persona of compassion, of justice, of love, of humanity. And it was really getting more and more sort of involved and close to people like Imam Hansen and others here in Britain that helped me intellectually come to terms with Islam, away from Islamism, the political ideology, and more importantly, discover a spiritual tradition that sits comfortably with other spiritual traditions and looking at human beings as just that, as fellow human beings. Mm. And it's not our duty to judge others, and ultimately it's them and their relationship with God. It's having that inner sense of relationship with God that then manifests in your actions on the outside that I personally found worked for me. I'm not suggesting this as a panacea for everyone, but it's something that worked for me. And it very much sat at home with my parents and my family and friends.
And I wonder if you have a sense of why the North American Muslim experience is so different from the experience you had as a British Muslim.
My impression is that it's the fact that you have a very strong national identity, that people who, as you say, fresh off the boat, can come and sign up to something.
But that identity is more porous somehow.
Yeah, it's there. It's palpable. American Muslims are deeply patriotic and deeply proud of being American,
yes,
and being Muslim. Here, we don't have that. You'd be hard-pressed to find Muslims in the north of England saying that they're British Muslims. It just doesn't happen.
With 7/7, you're referring to the July 7th terrorist attacks in 2005, was it? 52 people killed, the largest attack like that on British soil since the war. And this all happened after you, far beyond the period of you being radicalized. How has that imprinted British society and the development of all of the aspects of what we're discussing about these dynamics in British society?
Well, 7/7 was a huge wake-up call to Britain.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to 7/7, everybody more or less was quite content to allow for Muslim separatism, extremist organizations to quite openly discuss whether they were British or whether they were Muslim, and then decide in a conference of about 10,000 people here in London that they were just Muslim and Britishness had nothing to do with them. Very deep separatism was developing here in Britain, and it was considered acceptable because it was all done in the name of multiculturalism, that it's acceptable to have difference at that level. So it was multiculturalism gone wild, and then suddenly we needed something as horrible as 7/7 to remind us that you allow people to develop in an underworld in which ideas of parliamentary democracy, of liberalism, of secularism have no meaning, then people resort to these ugly means to express their grievances. So since 7/7, there have been several initiatives to try to come to terms with what it is in British society that allows for an underclass to develop that's totally disconnected to the mainstream. On the one hand, you've got that extreme that refuses to acknowledge the fact that multiculturalism has been conducted wrongly and we've made mistakes and we need to correct those. And on the other extreme, you've got the far right that are suggesting the whole problem is to do with immigration. So between these two extremes, I think there are some of us who are trying to carve out a middle path where to say that, yes, there are problems within the Muslim community that need to be addressed, you know, scriptural, social, political, economic, and there are problems with the mainstream, you know, cultural snobbery,
right,
arrogance, a sense of history that needs readdressing. You know, so it's a two-way street. So we're in the middle of that discussion as a nation, I think, but the jury's out really as to where we'll end up.
Tell me what you discovered that really did change your life at this later point as an adult, what you discovered in Islam.
Much of this goes back, I must say, to American Muslim influences, and in that you've got fascinating scholars such as Imam Hamza Yusuf Hansen from California,
yes,
who I was exposed to here in Britain in the late 1990s. And in him and in others, I saw Muslims who are Westerners, who are American, who are English-speaking, who are intelligent, deeply erudite, and connected to a sense of prophetic Islam, connecting themselves right back to the Prophet Muhammad. And they embodied that persona of compassion, of justice, of love, of humanity. And it was really getting more and more sort of involved and close to people like Imam Hansen and others here in Britain that helped me intellectually come to terms with Islam, away from Islamism, the political ideology, and more importantly, discover a spiritual tradition that sits comfortably with other spiritual traditions and looking at human beings as just that, as fellow human beings. Mm. And it's not our duty to judge others, and ultimately it's them and their relationship with God. It's having that inner sense of relationship with God that then manifests in your actions on the outside that I personally found worked for me. I'm not suggesting this as a panacea for everyone, but it's something that worked for me. And it very much sat at home with my parents and my family and friends.
And I wonder if you have a sense of why the North American Muslim experience is so different from the experience you had as a British Muslim.
My impression is that it's the fact that you have a very strong national identity, that people who, as you say, fresh off the boat, can come and sign up to something.
Well, that identity is more porous somehow.
Yeah, it's there. It's palpable. American Muslims are deeply patriotic and deeply proud of being American, yes, and being Muslim. Here, we don't have that. You'd be hard-pressed to find Muslims in the north of England saying that they're British Muslims. It just doesn't happen.
With 7/7, you're referring to the July 7th terrorist attacks in 2005, was it? 52 people killed, the largest attack like that on British soil since the war. And this all happened after you, far beyond the period of you being radicalized. How has that imprinted British society and the development of all of the aspects of what we're discussing about these dynamics in British society?
Well, 7/7 was a huge wake-up call to Britain. Mm-hmm. Prior to 7/7, everybody more or less was quite content to allow for Muslim separatism, extremist organizations to quite openly discuss whether they were British or whether they were Muslim, and then decide in a conference of about 10,000 people here in London that they were just Muslim and Britishness had nothing to do with them. Very deep separatism was developing here in Britain, and it was considered acceptable because it was all done in the name of multiculturalism, that it's acceptable to have difference at that level. So it was multiculturalism gone wild, and then suddenly we needed something as horrible as 7/7 to remind us that you allow people to develop in an underworld in which ideas of parliamentary democracy, of liberalism, of secularism have no meaning, then people resort to these ugly means to express their grievances. So since 7/7, there have been several initiatives to try to come to terms with what it is in British society that allows for an underclass to develop that's totally disconnected to the mainstream. On the one hand, you've got that extreme that refuses to acknowledge the fact that multiculturalism has been conducted wrongly and we've made mistakes and we need to correct those. And on the other extreme, you've got the far right that are suggesting the whole problem is to do with immigration. So between these two extremes, I think there are some of us who are trying to carve out a middle path where to say that, yes, there are problems within the Muslim community that need to be addressed, you know, scriptural, social, political, economic, and there are problems with the mainstream, you know, cultural snobbery,
right,
arrogance, a sense of history that needs readdressing. You know, so it's a two-way street. So we're in the middle of that discussion as a nation, I think, but the jury's out really as to where we'll end up.